This is Michael Klein.
And this is Vishal Ramola.
And we are coming to you from the Howard Thurman Center for the Common Ground.
So often, students only encounter administrators through the policies they enact.
But today, we spoke with Dean Elmore to try and give BU students a better idea of the human beings behind the decisions that affect us every day. Before we begin, just the intro question that I have for you is, if you had to describe yourself in like a minute, what was like the most important things that you want people to know?
Wow. Let's see. In a minute. I hope that people say he's like a human being, man. He lives. I hope that people say he's about humanity. I hope people call me artsy. I hope people say he asks a lot of questions. And I hope people say, man, he's trying to be like the next Dalai Lama. That's it. The Dalai Lama of love.
That's great.
Awesome. So we're going to learn more about that guy today.
Yes.
Hopefully. All right. So before we get into questions about who you are outside of BU, which is the goal of this podcast, so that students can get to know a BU administrator as a person, can you just tell us real quick, what do you do and how did you get here? What got you interested in it and why is this something you care about?
Yeah, on a real basic level, every day what I do is, now it's a little changed, but I try to make sure that the students of Boston University can do that basic thing, that they can find their way and really live out their hopes and dreams through their education. That's important. So I think that's what I do, and I handle specifically more of those things that are outside of classroom experiences. And how did I get here? Wow, that's an interesting thing. I got here, I think, because when I was an undergraduate, I really vibed with what this administrator's name's Perry Ashley. Did for a living. He was very similar to what I do right now, and also someone named Kerry McIntosh. Kerry McIntosh, rest his soul, was also an administrator who I got to know really well. And these were people who took care of students. That's what they did. They gave me advice. They worked with me. And I remember that Kerry McIntosh one day, when I was getting some forms signed for my coursework, he suggested that I take an education class and that I think about education as a career. And I thought, huh, really? So I can go to school and learn how to do what you do? And he says, yeah, you should try and do it. I think you'd be good at it. And so that started me on a path. I was going to go to medical school. I was thinking about that. I'm an old person and I'm an old hippie type. And I didn't really like the pathological approach to medicine. I wanted to do more things that were spiritually based and maybe more earth-based and root medicine-y and more folkloric. That didn't sell real well, so I decided that I would first be a graphic artist. So I was a graphic artist for a tiny bit of time. I used to take a lot of art classes. I went to school near the Rhode Island School of Design, so I could cross list and do that sort of thing. And I wasn't a great business person. I was too much of an artist. I wanted to do my own thing. And so that didn't work out well. And ultimately, I got a internship here at BU where I was working to do a little bit of work in student activities, a little bit of work in athletics, a little bit of work for orientation. So I did a lot of work in and around the university. And I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. I like this. Ultimately, I ended up working at BU. I used to run student activities here. I was involved with running the residence life system here at BU for a little bit. And then all the while, I got a master's degree in education and also all the while got a law degree. And I decided that what I wanted to do was to pursue the law and see what I might be able to do and engage in. And I was able to work for a firm here in Boston. I did some work in corporate finance, and then I did some work in labor and employment law. But along the way, I was always doing work, whether it be pro bono or otherwise, for nonprofits, for colleges, universities, and school systems. So I kept a foot in that door. And then, I don't know, dumb luck, I ended up getting a job here at BU, being the dean of students. So it's worked out really well. I like the way it's come full circle for me. I think I got the best job on campus, so this is good stuff.
One thing that I think I'd just be interested to ask, do you think, so I'm sure your whole career of, it sounds like it was always involved in service, but one particular thing, you said medicine didn't work out for you because you wanted something more holistic.
Yeah.
Do you think that informs what you do today?
Go ahead, finish your question.
Well, what we'd like students to see through this is to get to know, you know, administrators as not just policy outcomes, how do they think about, you know, how do they think about these things that they enact?
Right? Yeah, I think I think you're right. I think you're right. I wanted more of a holistic view of the human body. And I think that a holistic view of the human body, I think medicine has to incorporate things like spirituality. I think it has to incorporate history and ancestors and folklore and all that sort of stuff. I think that's all about how we are well, not just pumping us full of things that just make us live, but I think we also have to be alive in order to do this stuff. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that if you see the kind of emails and messages that I send, they tend to probably take more of that holistic approach. I think that what I do with students now is about being holistic, and I try to coordinate holistic responses to what students need. Yeah, you got it. And I also, you know, my friends will tell you, and look, just look at my background here. I tend to take a bit of an artsy view on things. That's why I say artsy. I think my friends would say I'm kind of fancy. But I like the way things look. That's important. Aesthetics are really important to me. So yeah, wow, that is fascinating. Good bit of insight there. Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's really interesting. Like you sort of take in administrative roles. Usually it's like just making sure everything runs like a well-oiled machine, but you really take in other people, how other people are, like as a person, not just like physical needs, but in terms of like spiritual and other things, mental needs too.
You have to, you know, and take for example right now with all the COVID, there's a lot of enforcement stuff that I have to do. And when I say enforcement, I hate that word too, but I'm trying to make sure people are testing. I'm trying to make sure that people are doing the symptom survey so that we can get this right. And I'm also just trying to make sure that within the bounds of us being fully human, that we are able to physically distance and keep our mask up and make sure that our groups don't get too big. But you know, I want to make sure that we also are living a little bit. And part of what I spend some time doing with students in all this enforcement is trying to talk them through, well, here's how you can do that a better way, or here's how you might be able to do that with thinking through the risk a little bit. So yeah, I do think it's about everything. We're human beings. This is humanity that we're talking about. And I just don't see how you can compartmentalize. I do see how you can do that. One of my struggles, for example, is with a real data-driven analysis. I'm the person who's always saying, I get the data. I'm not a Neanderthal. I can look at the data and see how it works. But I also have a lot of observation and a lot of other things that I say human beings act this way. And how do we, you know, human beings don't follow rules, and human beings like nice things to look at, and human beings like to touch each other and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, how do we also put these more poetic aspects of how we are into being? Like, for example, I think that human beings are full of, sure, blood and bones and everything else, but I also think we're full of music and beats.
Right.
I mean, think about your body. Your body's got a lot of beats in it. Your body has music in it. Your heart, you got a heartbeat. Your knees make sounds sometimes when you go upstairs. You creak, and you know, you can tap on your body and it makes sounds. So we are full of that, and we're full of art too. I think we're full of poetry. people like the way things sound, and they think about their voice. We can do things with our voices. I mean, just pretty amazing sort of things. And so I'm the guy who's always saying, sure, I want to deal with the flesh and blood, but I also want to deal with the beats and the sounds and the rhythms that we also have. And those things don't have a lot of data attached to them.
I think that really ties together a lot of the aspects of your story that you gave us. So thank you. I think our next couple questions are going to step even further back from Dean Elmore the Dean and more towards Dean Elmore the Man.
Yikes.
Mike, do you want to?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we are on a college campus.
I didn't notice
that. Yeah, I know. It's crazy to think about. So you obviously went to college. I'm currently going into college, and Vishal is graduating this year. So we were wondering from your experience, like, what was the craziest thing you saw in college?
Craziest thing I saw or craziest thing I did?
and either one.
Well, you know, I think I saw a lot of crazy, but I think one of the craziest things I saw, and this is going to be weird in terms of crazy. I remember there was on my campus, I went to Brown, and I remember there was this thing called Mike's Party. Apparently, there was a student who was a semiotics major. Semiotics is the study of signs. And he had this assignment that he needed to get a certain percentage of the campus community into one space at the same time. So what he did was he put together this thing called Mike's Party. And he got celebrities, he got people from around the city to put video together. And as I'm growing up, video was kind of new. It was really new. Right. But he put videos together and showed them all over the campus. And there was such a buzz about this thing called Mike's Party. And we all went, we packed in to Mike's Party. It was just a DJ in the room. That was it. Nothing to eat, nothing else. But it was crazy how crazy people went over that sort of thing. I just thought it was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
When I saw that. I thought, wow, that's a feat.
Did he get the celebrities? He got videos of celebrities?
Yes, he did. Like James Brown was on the mayor of Providence was on a video, and he had them all put glasses on and say, I'll see you at Mike's Party. That's all
that
he did.
That's crazy.
He just got hordes of people doing that. And I was like, wow, I'm going to Mike's Party, man. Yeah. And I was like, everybody else, we went to Mike's Party.
Did you know Mike?
No, I didn't know Party. I didn't know him. I think it was a different student, but he invented this character called Mike. That nobody ever saw, but we just knew it was Mike's Party.
That's cool. That's like really, that's really innovative marketing. Like that's just like all marketing, but really it's just like nothing really towards the end. That's pretty cool.
It was nothing like I had ever seen before. So I think that was amazing to me overall.
That is interesting. I also don't know exactly what I would take away from an experience like that.
Yeah, I was floored by it. I was really floored by it overall.
Okay, so we were also wondering if you could have dinner with four people, celebrities, politicians, they could be alive or no longer with us, who would they be? And what would you like to talk to them about?
Like all at the same time?
It doesn't have to be. It could be like sequential.
All right, a few people. I mean, I think I'd like to, you know, Karl Marx is one for sure. You know, I just think that Karl Marx just changed society so much with his writings and everything else. In fact, I'm reading, so Karl Marx was a correspondent, and I'm reading this book, Karl Marx as he thought about the American Civil War, some of his writings. This is fascinating. He and Engels, Marx and Engels, wrote about the American Civil War because they thought that it would be this really incredible revolutionary global revolutionary experience, and to some extent it was, but this is really fascinating. So I would say Karl Marx would be one of them. Let me think. Hannah Arendt, I'd love to sit and have dinner with her. Again, I think she's one of those people who just wrote so much about society, and that she told the truth. I guess that'd be a good way to think about it. She told the truth. Toni Morrison is somebody who I wish I could could have sat down with and had a chance to just really engage her, one of the brilliant people on the planet at a time. So she's another one. I think I'd also say Prince. I would love to have been able to sit down with Prince and shoot it with Prince a little bit. Man, and I could keep going on and on. There are a lot of people I'd love to sit down and chat with. But I guess those would be my four.
Are those lifelong interests for you, all four of those people, or did you discover them at different times in your life?
Yeah, no, these are lifelong people. These are folks, you know, I've always been reading Marx. I've always thought about Toni Morrison, Hannah Arendt. I have always really been fascinated there. And Prince, I am a big Prince head. I probably saw Prince 20 times or so.
Oh, wow. Prince is the man. He's so talented.
I'm a big Prince fan, so there we go.
That's really cool. And yeah, I would actually want to be at that table of just having all those people.
Yeah.
That'd be so interesting. So what celebrities have you met?
Jeez. I've met a lot of celebrities. Let me think. I mean, the mayor of Boston's a celebrity, I think. I've met a couple mayors. Let me think here. Russell Hornsby, he's an actor. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. I've met a lot of people. Let me go through here. I've met the Ramones.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, where'd you meet the Ramones?
Oh, the Ramones actually came to BU.
Really?
I've met Chili Peppers. I've met them. Let's see. A long time ago. Let's see. I literally bumped into Tony Bennett once. I was in Las Vegas. I wasn't looking at what I was doing, and I bumped into him.
Really nice. That's guy. Lucky.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. Whoa, that's Tony Bennett. I just ran into Tony Bennett. Let me think. Oh my gosh, who else have I run into? Ibram Kendi's a celebrity. I've been.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We can all run into him now.
Yeah,
you know, let me think. Oh my gosh. Walt Frazier, he's an old Knicks player. My goodness, who else have I've met a lot more if I were a celebrity. I met a guy named Muhammad Yunus, who is this incredible human being on the planet. Paul Farmer, Mountains Beyond Mountains, him.
Did you meet Paul Farmer in an academic context or?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, I should say this. I have friends who are good friends with Paul Farmer. So that's how I've met Paul Farmer.
Okay.
Let me think. Oh my gosh. I've had a lot of people I've met. Holy cow.
That's way longer than my list. Yeah. I got to say.
You know, of course, I knew AOC. I still, from time to time, chat with her.
So awesome.
I got to count AOC in the mix. They'll keep coming, but I've met a lot of people.
I just got to ask, where did you meet I want to know where you met all these people. Where did you meet the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
So years ago, Red Hot Chili Peppers played at Boston University at, I'm talking like 30 years ago, they played at Walter Brown Arena. And I don't know if you know, in the early days of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they played with only socks covering their private parts.
Yep, I'm familiar. Yeah. There's some classic.
Yep.
So they came out. Well, we're talking to them. It's great to meet them. Hey, what's going on? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, Flea has a new book that just came out that I hear is really good. We said, look, Boston, you got to be careful. You can't come out like that. You know, why would you tell the Red Hot Chili Peppers that? I was young. You might as well tell them, just come out with socks on your penises, right?
Yeah.
And of course, that's what they did. And we were like, oh, no. Yeah. They just shut down. I can't believe this is happening to us. So that's how I met the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What was your position at BU when you were telling them to...
I was working for the student activities office. Assistant director of student activities back then. So, that was that's kind of wild. I met Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, wow.
Lawrence Fishburne had a son who graduated from BU. Graduation morning, I met him. That was really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Nice guy. Really nice guy.
He seems like it.
I mean, like gentleman. He's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm trying to think. Who else? Don Cheadle. I've met Don Cheadle.
Oh, Don Cheadle. How did you meet Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle also has a a daughter who graduated from BU, so along the way I met him. Yeah. It's a lot of cool people.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we were also wondering, on a little bit more of a serious note, in your job and in everyone's job and in school, we all deal with, you know, challenges, either personally with, you know, struggles with procrastination or, you know, externally. What are some ways that you deal with challenges that you face? Are they similar to the way that you see students dealing with challenges? What do you think we could learn, maybe?
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I get up early. I like to meet challenges head on. I think that's an important piece. I like to just say, well, what are we going to do to deal with this? What do I need to do? And so that's an important piece. And generally speaking, too, I think part of dealing with challenges is also dealing with stress that comes with those challenges, trying to deal with the anxiety, the angst, the anger, the fear that comes with those sorts of things. And those are, I think, just works in progress. For me, I like listening to music as a way to sort of deal with those kinds of things. I like just reading poetry. I just think that's, for me, reading words is really important. I read poetry out loud so I can hear it, so how it sounds. Sometimes I just read articles out loud. I try to also read things that I'd call non-trade work, you know, things that aren't just about work, all right? I try to do that. And, you know, I also, you know, one of my big challenges, so I'll tell you something super personal about me. I'm a person who lives with cancer, and so I have to keep myself in a certain shape. And so that's the other thing, too, that's really important for me in terms of dealing with this big challenge I have, and that's my immune system and how I deal with that. I've got to make sure that I am really thoughtful about what I eat and really thoughtful about keeping my workouts and exercise and walking and those sorts of things. That's a big challenge that I have to deal with, and I do it in that way. You know, I try to keep some good habits so that I can fight this thing and deal with this thing as much as possible. Actually, not even fight it, live with it, because that's just how it is overall. So I tend to deal with my challenges straight up. I try to make sure that I'm well informed about what the challenge is. And you know, there are times when I've got to enlist other people to help me out, and you can't be afraid to do that.
Thanks for sharing that.
Wow.
Those are some good. So some takeaways would be, face it head on.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Be informed. Yep. One thing I thought was interesting that is maybe not like an overall principle, but you talked about reading words.
Yeah.
What is it you think about, I don't know, literature or, you know, records of other people's experiences and interests? What is it that helps, you know, comfort us in struggles?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that when we hear other people's stories, it's an acknowledge. We see ourselves. I think that's really it. We see ourselves and we say, ah, wow, yeah, I have felt that way before. So I give words, you know, and stories for me. I feel like my body and my heart connects with those things. And so, I think again, as human beings, we do that. We, you know, music pulls us into something. Words that human beings write down, they pull us in because they're familiar. They're stories. That, you know, you've often heard people say that there are very few stories that are out there. Well, you know, we connect to those stories. And I think that, I know for me, that's why I love hearing people's stories. That's why this kind of thing where you're asking me my story is really hard, because I'm usually turning it around the other way. But I just learn things from people where I think, oh, wow, so that's how you got from point A to B, or that's how you were able to solve a problem, or there's a lesson there. And I think that's really cool. And that's why I think what you're doing here with getting people's stories is really, really, really important. I think we just connect with stories.
Yeah, that's really good. It's like a writer can really like get into a part of your head that you don't really tap into very often, and makes you sort of realize different things. So that's,
I think so.
So what music do you listen to? You mentioned music as a way of stress relief. And so like, what's your main genre?
Well, you know, I listen to a whole lot of music. I just try to every day just throw some different music out. You know, right now I'm trying to listen to a lot more disco.
Nice.
I'm in a disco right now. But I would say that I would say that if I really broke into what my big genres are, now they're going to sound unusual. I'm a jazz nut. And jazz because I think that New Orleans and Louisiana is the primordial ooze to America. And I think that jazz comes out of that because you had all these people from all over the place. It's sort of our little Mesopotamia. And people made music as a part of it. Again, they were, I think we were at our human selves. We cooked food together. We fought with each other. We made music together. And jazz came out of that. And I think jazz truly is that gift to the world. It's a unique form of music that started in the Americas, you know, with the influences of, say, Africa, et cetera, et cetera. But I just love jazz. And I love jazz because it's sort of egalitarian. If you're playing jazz, you get the right to take a little bit of a solo, but you still got to be able to play and you got to be able to work with each other. I just love jazz. So I think that's one aspect. I also love punk. You know, Joe Strummer was going to be the next on my list of people who I would have over. I'm a big Clash fan. I'm a big fan of Bad Brains and folks like that, the Ramones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just think that, you know, punk was such a response to the times and everything else. I like that music. I like that so many more people would play music based upon that. And I know that the professors and everybody else out there will say, punk's not really music. And I'm like, well, you know, I disagree, but, you know, I love punk, and I also love rap, hip hop. I think that these are all movements in a way. Punk is a movement. You know, hip hop's a movement. Jazz is a movement. And in fact, if you like hip hop and punk and everything else, the MFA is about to do a Basquiat exhibit. And, you know, Basquiat was sort of that visual artist that inspired a number of people in the movements of punk and also hip hop. But I also think jazz too. I think Basquiat's also jazz. And I also think that hip hop and rap are just sort of a modern form of jazz. So that those are my genres. That's what I'm listening to all the time. I started listening a lot more to Tin Pan Alley and country, like old country music. I gotta admit, it's a little hard on me because I can't say I'm a super fan, and I'm not trying to say that I throw shade at anybody. It's just, you know, I think the music just carries with it a harder listen for me. But I'm trying to do a little bit more. So, for example, I love Hank Williams. I love that really old stuff, and I love it, too, because it's folk music. Well, all music is folk music, I think, but it's that old, old school, let me be where I am, pick up that instrument or make an instrument and sing about my life for other people to connect with.
It's really cool.
I love music, man.
Yeah. I love the parallel you drew between, or I mean, you mentioned punk, right, between hip hop and jazz. And I think the, you know, hip hop and jazz are, you can see the relations. They're both, you know, improvisational. They both, you know, sample in a sense. I love that you put punk in between there. It draws a fascinating parallel.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So we were also wondering, what are some things that you'd like to do around the city? What are your favorite parts of Boston? What are things that you like about this environment?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You almost got to answer that pre-COVID and COVID.
Right, yeah.
I love walking around the city. And I just love walking around the city. I'm a real urban guy, grew up in New York City. So cities for me are just, wow, I just love a city. I love walking from BU down to the ocean. You know, go from here down through the public gardens, down through the commons. I like the commons. I just like that the commons has been this place for so many things that have happened there. So, you know, the commons real cool for me. And then I love to keep walking and, you know, go by the State House, go past it downtown and to be there. So and along the way, I just like watching people. I'm that guy who likes watching people and seeing what people do. I listen to people. I just love cities. COVID certainly changed that. But, you know, that's one of the things that I love. A favorite spot. You know, I mean, I like Alston. Yeah, it's almost just—it's just a vibe I like in Alston. I like walking around Alston. I like that combination of neighborhood, college student, longtime people there, short-lived. A lot of cultural spots to eat that are really good in Alston. Mm-hmm. It's got a weirdness to it. It's got a rowdiness to it that I just really like. I like Alston. Overall, and I hope it stays Alston past the pandemic. I'm not that guy who likes being in the burbs and all that sort of stuff. So I like the more noisier places, and those two places really work for me.
It sounds like your favorite, the things you like about the city, are the same stuff that you told us about your music taste, actually.
That's what
lively, they're full lively. Of life, and they full of sharing life with, whoever you're living with musically or in terms of literally in the city.
No, that's true. I love drinking coffee all over the city. I mean, I just love coffee, and I love finding places and just getting a coffee.
Right. What are your favorite restaurants in the city right now?
Right now might be different than
just of all time.
Yeah. Well, I used to really love Eastern Standard in Kenmore Square. I hear they may not be coming back, but I love.
I heard that too. It's very sad.
Yeah, that's what I hear. They may not be coming back. I love that. Over in Coolidge Corner, this place called the Coolidge Corner Clubhouse. It's a dive bar, but it got good food there. I like that place. Let me think some other restaurants that I really like. I love the Beehive. That's another good spot that I just find really fun and fascinating. I like a lot of restaurants just in the South Bend. They just got some great spots over there. On the cheap, man, I don't mind Chipotle either. I like the sofritos.
Oh yeah,
sofritos, I should say. Yeah,
that's when I'm there. I usually get either carne or the steak and stuff like that. So.
Oh yeah. And they got the queso every now and then. So I don't mind it.
It's like if you're in a rush, then that's the best place to go.
Yeah.
All right, and so we just got one more, and so one thing that I think everyone has as a common experience is, or at least I do, I don't know, maybe I don't want to read my experiences onto other people, is we have time where we try to procrastinate or like put something off, or we just have empty time that we need to fill in between our tasks. And I feel like we all have something characteristic, something that we go to fill up time. Do you have something that you do to fill up time? Maybe even not during work, maybe, at night when you have nothing else to do.
I watch a lot of TV. I watch hordes and hordes of TV, so I think that's one. I got like a couple of little stupid games that I'll like pull up on my phone, Solitaire, Lily's Garden, all that sort of stuff. So I'll do that to waste a little time. I still look at a newspaper on a regular, so I'll just like flip through a newspaper real quick. Let me think, what else did I do to just waste time or just fill some time? I love just getting on walking, but if I'm just sedentary in one place, I'm probably like fishing around on my phone a little bit and probably watching TV.
What are some of your favorite things to watch on TV?
Oh, man, it's a range. I watch a lot of stuff. I guess my sort of guilty pleasure is Below Deck Mediterranean. I love that. It's just silliness. I love ridiculousness on MTV. That just cracks me up. That is what it is. I try to watch a bunch of series as well, but I think my wasting time, I'm watching ridiculousness.
Oh, wow.
That's a good genre of TV.
Yeah. just makes people laugh.
Or I'll go down the rabbit hole with some YouTube videos too.
That is one of my greatest vices.
Yeah.
that is an easy one to do. And I'm not watching cat videos either. No. I'm just like looking for stuff, and I'm just I'll start with maybe a song. And then you flip around, I'll look on the side, okay, let me watch this video, let me watch this. before I know it, it's like 2 in the morning. And I'm,
yeah, and you just get deeper and deeper into
the internet. Yeah, and I'm like watching videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, that I think wraps up
the
questions that we were interested in asking.
Yeah.
Fun.
Thank you. We really appreciate you sharing your time. And
yes, it's really been an honor.
Good to see you all. Stay healthy, stay well, and peace.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Take care.
This has been Not So Serious Interviews with Serious People.
Michelle Romola and Michael Klein signing out.